Well, hello everyone, to everyone in the room, to those of you who are joining us online. My name's Trina, I'm one of the team here, and it's so good to be with you on Pentecost Sunday. Anyone realise it's Pentecost Sunday? Yeah, a few hands going up, a few people wearing red and all of that kind of thing. It's so good to be here. Now, today we're finishing up our series on the Holy Spirit, the names of the Holy Spirit. And interestingly, when we were putting the series together, this one wasn't actually included. And it wasn't until a few weeks ago when Pastor Dave Lovell realised he was going to be away this weekend. He said, oh, Trina, would you mind doing Holy Spirit, Wind and Fire? I went, yeah, absolutely. And then I looked at the calendar and went, it's Pentecost Sunday. And that's the passage we're looking at today. So I thought, that's very, very nice. But as I was thinking about Pentecost and wind and fire, I thought, I wonder if I've got any stories in my own life of sort of wind and fire. And I've been slightly concerned by the number I came up with. So when I was at, I've camped in Bright pretty much my whole life over summer. And I remember it must have been back in the early 80s. I'm that old. Back in the early 1980s, mind you. We're camping at Bright and the whole town was surrounded by a bushfire. And it was coming up over the ridge. And my dad and another guy who his family camped sort of opposite us, I remember peeking through the tent flaps at night, and it didn't matter what time of night it was, either my dad or this other guy was outside sitting up watching and waiting and just ready to evacuate us if we needed to. The only problem was the whole town was ringed in by fire. There was nowhere we could go. We kids thought it'd be great though. We'd just go to the river and we'd get under the water and we would be fine. We had it all sorted. Ash Wednesday. Anyone remember Ash Wednesday? Yep. Oh, I had this really vivid memory of being in the backyard of our home with Mum, talking to one of our neighbours over the fence. And as we're talking, this wind is blowing and whipping around. All of a sudden, these burnt bits of leaf are dropping. Did anyone else have that happen? Maybe it didn't happen here in Bendigo, but dropping. Anyway, later that night, I'm looking out between the curtains, looking out into our front yard, and this wind is howling. It was just all, and it was hot, and then bang, all of a sudden these sparks just blew in front of our house and landed in the neighbour's front yard. I remember yelling, Mum, the fires are here. There's panic, and what did she say we should be grabbing? Photo albums. No one at Eagle Hawk knew that either. Back in those days, we didn't have phones. We had to grab the photo albums. So the neighbours next door, their front yard burst into fires. The power lines had smashed together in the wind and had created, sparked this fire. It was absolutely terrifying. Years ago, Andy and I were heading away for a weekend and we were tossing up on two different places that we would go. We thought, oh, where will we go just for a couple of nights away? And we decided we'd go to Anglesey. And I remember standing in the water at Anglesey and looking at the kind of the hill that comes down into the bay. And I don't think I've ever felt a wind so hot as that day. It felt like I was in an oven. And I remember thinking, if a fire started here, it would be absolutely devastating. We got in the car later that day and we heard on the radio that the other place we were going had experienced fire, Marysville. And that was Black Saturday. It had such an impact on us. We had friends with property up in the Marysville area as well, and it's a place that's really dear to us. But here we are in Anglesey, and the other place we had planned on going just burnt down. And then 2020, the Black Summer bushfires. So you're probably not wanting to come on holidays with me, are you? So we were camping just outside of Corryong. And we'd been off and had a swim one day. We'd come back, had dinner at the caravan, and then we'd gone into Corryong just to grab an icy pole or an ice cream for dessert. And we're driving back to the caravan park. It's dark. It's pretty late. And the owner of the caravan park meets us as we're driving in, and we can see all this activity going on around. And he said, you've got half an hour to get out. We're being evacuated. And we drove out of Corryong back towards Andy's parents' place, a few hours' drive, with the flames starting to come over the hills as we were evacuating from Corryong. So again, you probably don't want to do summer holidays with me. But living in Australia, we know the effects of wind and fire. When the two combine, it can transform a landscape. And over the previous weeks, we've looked at some of the Holy Spirit's different names: seal, intercessor, power, anointing. And each name has revealed to us another facet of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's also invited us to consider the work of the Holy Spirit in our own lives. And today is no different. As we look at this passage in Acts 2, we see the person and the work of the Spirit arrive in a dramatic and miraculous way. What we see too is a turning point. Just as a powerful bushfire can completely transform a landscape, the arrival of the Holy Spirit is the ignition point for transformation. First for the disciples, and then for those who witnessed the event. And as time went on, the arrival of the Holy Spirit went on to transform the cultural, political, social, relational, and spiritual landscape of the world in a time where no one or nothing was considered powerful enough to overcome the power and might of the Roman Empire. And just as you and I can feel daunted and overcome by our own cultural landscape right here and now, whether that's in the face of what's going on in the world at large, or in our own workplaces or families, or even in our own heart and mind, the same ignition point, the same power is available to each of us to bring transformational change, first in our own lives and then in the lives of those around us. And it's all through the work of the Holy Spirit in us and through us as wind and fire. So would you join me? If you open up your Bibles, we're going to be reading Acts chapter 2. So on your Bibles or on your device, the words will also be on the screen if you want to read along. So on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. And it was about 120 of the disciples. It wasn't just the 12, it was the 120. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet here we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there, amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They're just drunk, that's all." I love the way God uses images that we can understand and relate to. And in Australia, images of wind and fire immediately resonate. Many of us know firsthand the potential fire, the power of wind and fire combined. And if we haven't experienced in person, we've certainly seen it on our television screens. Thankfully, the wind and fire of the Holy Spirit in Acts isn't destructive, but it's just as transformative, just as powerful as a raging Australian bushfire. And to understand the impact of this passage, it's helpful to understand the imagery used. And both wind and fire are used in Scripture to describe and signify God's presence. And I just want to highlight just a few examples for us today. So in Exodus chapter 14, it's the wind that parts the Red Sea for the Israelites to flee from slavery in Egypt. In Ezekiel chapter 37, Ezekiel's giving a prophecy, and the Spirit, the breath of God, is described as a wind, prophetically breathing new life into the dry bones as the Spirit is given to God's people. I love in John chapter 3 when Jesus is meeting at night with the Pharisee Nicodemus, that he describes the work of the Holy Spirit bringing new life to people like a wind, something that we can't see but we can observe the effect of. And fire was a particularly important and powerful theme for Israel. In Exodus chapter 3, we can read about Moses and the burning bush. It's actually, the bush wasn't burning, but there was a fire. It was the presence of God in the fire. A pillar of fire led the Israelites in their exodus from slavery in Egypt and throughout their wilderness experience in Exodus 13. In Exodus chapter 24, when God enacted the covenant relationship through Moses at Mount Sinai, it says in verse 17, the glory of the Lord appeared at the summit like a consuming fire. Fire as evidence of God's presence is found in Exodus chapter 40. The tabernacle, the tent of meeting, is completed and it is filled with the glory of the Lord, which during the day looked like a cloud and at night it was lit up from within with fire. When Israel finally settled in the promised land and Solomon had completed the building of the temple, and when the temple was dedicated to the Lord, we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 this. When Solomon finished praying, fire flashed down from heaven and burnt up the burnt offerings and sacrifices, and the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glorious presence of the Lord had filled it. And when all the people of Israel saw the fire coming down and the glorious presence of the Lord filling the temple, they fell face down on the ground and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "He is good. His faithful love endures forever." And the consistent message through the Old Testament was that God's presence, although observable by many, is only experienced at a distance and only in a particular place and time. It was only a very select few priests who could come even vaguely close to the presence of God, and even then, it wasn't an internal relational experience. And all that changes here at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Pentecost was a festival celebrated 50 days after Passover. In fact, the word Pentecost means 50. And originally, it was a harvest festival. So it was a thanksgiving for the grain that had been given and the grain that was about to be planted. But over time, it changed in its meaning, and instead it became a festival of thanksgiving for the giving of the law. Now, let's just linger on that for a moment. To every Jew, this was a day of celebrating the giving of the law, the giving of the first covenant, the first relationship between God and his people. And it's this moment at Pentecost where God chooses to fulfill the promise of the Old Testament, the promise of Jesus, the promise of this new covenant with the giving of the Holy Spirit to all the believers. I've been so struck this week by the sovereignty and the beauty of God, his timing, which is so perfect, the way he works through history. This festival that used to be about harvest and then became a festival about the giving of the law, then becomes the place and the time where God gives his Holy Spirit. It's here as the believers are gathered together that they experience the fulfillment of Jesus' promise to send his Spirit to empower them for life and ministry in his name. And this sudden arrival of the Spirit was given in a way that these first disciples, they would have understood what was happening. They knew from their history that wind and fire was a sign of the presence of God. But for the first time, the presence was given to individuals. It was given to each and every one of them. And as Peter declares just moments later, as he begins to explain to the crowd what's going on, he's saying that this is the fulfillment of the promise of God that they've been expecting and anticipating and waiting for. And he quotes from the prophet Joel and he says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy." And this is a turning point in history as God no longer confines himself to his confines his earthly presence to a place, but instead gifts his presence to every believer. You and I, if we have chosen to put our trust in Jesus, have the presence of God in us, with us, moving through us and enabling us to live for him every moment of every day, no matter where we are. We don't need to travel to a distant part of the world or anywhere to experience the presence of God. We don't need some intermediary. We don't need a priest to speak on our behalf to God or to speak on God's behalf to us. We have direct access to God and we have his presence with us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, not built with stone and wood, but with faith-filled flesh and blood bodies that have responded to Jesus' call of follow me. And the impact here in Acts 2 is dramatic and it is immediate. Jerusalem, we're told, is filled with Jews from all corners of the earth, celebrating this festival of Pentecost. And it's into this setting that God releases the Holy Spirit to bring Jesus' message of freedom and forgiveness to each of them in their own language. In Acts 1, Jesus tells his disciples that they are to make disciples in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And as much as we see this happening later on in Acts as the disciples are dispersed due to persecution, it actually begins here in this moment as the believers are enabled by the Holy Spirit to speak in different languages so that Jews from distant lands can hear the message of Jesus in their own tongue, a message that they will then take back to their own countries and communities. See, the result of the Spirit being given is not just the filling of the disciples and a good feeling for them. It's for sharing the gospel with others. We're not given the Holy Spirit to just feel good about ourselves. The Lord gives us the Spirit to empower us, to set us on fire so that his message spreads like a bushfire, fanned into flame by the wind of the Holy Spirit. It's a miracle that we see here in Acts 2, and it has mixed responses. Some have questions and want to know more. Some ridicule what's going on. And these are often responses that so many of us have potentially made when we first heard about Jesus, and often responses that we encounter when we share our faith in Jesus with people. But the impact is immense. Luke records here that about 3,000 people were added to their number that day. 3,000. We put up gold balloons here on the stage when people put their faith in Jesus. We celebrate rightly when we have a single gold balloon on here, when it represents one person who has made that decision to accept Jesus' invitation of follow me. They've put their faith in Jesus and they have eternal life. We celebrate when there is one. We'd be over the moon if there were three. We would be ecstatic. We would not know what to do with ourselves if there were 30, let alone 300. And just imagine for a moment if there were 3,000 gold balloons in this room. Filling the stage, the room, right now. It would be a miracle. We'd have some capacity problems. We probably wouldn't know what to do, and we'd find it hard to believe. But this is the reality that the first disciples faced as they received the Holy Spirit and they cooperated with what God was doing. And this is so important. It's so essential for us to understand, if you haven't already heard this or understood, that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when God empowers us, we have a choice of whether we will cooperate or not. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and force us to do things. These first believers, they weren't possessed, they weren't taken over by the Holy Spirit, but they were enabled and they were empowered. But they had a choice of whether or not they would speak out the words that God had given them. Paul, in his letter to the first letter to the Corinthians, kind of helps us to understand the dynamics of this a little bit. He's talking to the Corinthian church about orderly worship, about doing worship in ways that kind of make sense. And he tells them that those who speak in tongues or in prophecy need to do it one at a time. There's no point everybody speaking over the top of each other. It's one at a time. He says, take it in turns. And what he's saying is that there is an element of choice in how we exercise the spiritual gifts. We aren't taken over and possessed by the Spirit. We're enabled and we have a part to play. And it's the same for us. We may not be able to speak in a foreign language, although that's not impossible. The Holy Spirit can still do that today. We may not be able to speak in a foreign tongue, but the Holy Spirit is still at work. I don't know if you can relate to this, but perhaps there's a time when you've been in a conversation with someone and maybe sensed the prompting of the Spirit to say something in particular. We may have those times where we have a word of insight or wisdom. We might call it prophecy, or we might feel prompted to invite someone to come to our home for a meal or to come to church. We might feel a prompting to pray for someone or to serve or to give or to help or just go where God is leading us. And we get to choose whether we'll partner with God, whether we will cooperate with God and what He is doing by His Spirit. And only God knows the impact it will have when we embrace the wind and fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives. As we look at the lives of these first disciples, we see the impact. We see it firstly in the change in Peter. Just 50 days earlier, he didn't even have the strength or courage to admit knowing Jesus. Days later, Peter is back to his old life of fishing, his heart broken, his soul destroyed, not only by the death of Jesus, but by his betrayal of the Messiah that he said he would die for. And yet here he is at Pentecost, empowered by the Spirit to boldly preach this amazing message, even in the face of ridicule and hostility. Hostility that would only grow and become more severe in the days and weeks ahead. And he and the others led thousands to put their faith in Jesus. But I don't want us to miss what is arguably the greatest impact, and perhaps even you could say the greatest miracle of Pentecost, because it's not simply that the Holy Spirit gave individual believers the ability to speak in foreign languages. Is that the coming of the Holy Spirit initiated and brought into reality a brand new community. 3,000 people from different nations, genders, ages, socioeconomic, political and cultural backgrounds were all brought together in faith in Jesus. And it was the Spirit who enabled that to happen. And it's the same Spirit today that enables us to be family together. Look around you. We're all very, very different. Different backgrounds, different families. It's the same Spirit that enables us to be family together and to reach people of all tribes and tongues and nations from all walks of life to be invited into life with Jesus. You and I may not have the opportunity to speak to thousands or even to speak in an unknown foreign language. But the fire of the Spirit in our own lives can give us the courage, the enabling and the words to speak to those in our lives, no matter where they are from. The Holy Spirit can give us the words for a tradie, a mum, a CEO, a farmer, nurse, teacher, support care worker, accountant, people like us or people completely different to us. Those who are young or old, those that are close to us, and even those we just meet for the briefest moment. It is the same Spirit at work in us as the Holy Spirit who arrived so dramatically at Pentecost. It's the same wind of God that we can't see, but we can see the effects of. It's the same fire of divine presence that fills us, which we take with us wherever we go. It's the same Spirit given to us when we put our faith in Jesus. And it's the same Spirit that God wants to fan into flame with wind and fire every day of our life, with transforming us by His presence so that others can be transformed too. So here's my question for us today, me included. I've asked myself this question quite a bit as I've been preparing for today. Is God's presence evident in your life? Is His presence evident to you? Is His presence evident to the people around you? Are you becoming more like Jesus? Are you becoming more loving and patient and kind and joyful and generous? All the gifts, all the fruit of the Spirit, are you becoming more like Jesus? Are you living out the call of Jesus to not only be a disciple, but to make disciples too? Are you experiencing the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit as you serve and love and minister to the people around you? In other words, how strongly, how brightly, how hotly, how powerfully is the Holy Spirit burning in your life at the moment? Excellent, Mike. But in light of those questions, how might Jesus be calling us to respond today? Well, there's a few things that have come to mind for me as I've sat in this passage and in these words over the last couple of weeks. Just really quickly, every commentator that I read on this passage talked about the importance of unity. When it comes to the work of the Spirit, unity is so, so important. We see that the first disciples, they were together when the Holy Spirit was given. And we see how the Holy Spirit brought people together. The fact that these 3,000 people from these diverse backgrounds came together, unity is so, so important. So firstly, are you in good Christian community at the moment? Have you got people around you who are supporting you and encouraging you, people that you can share your life with, people that you are able to go deep with in your journey with Jesus? I want to encourage you, if you don't have that yet, ask God, who's that one person I can spend time with? If you're not in a life group, come and talk to me and I'm happy to help you get into a life group. We need each other. But also really sense strongly for this morning, if you are in disunity with someone, particularly a brother or sister in Christ, if there's something fractious and rubbing a bit, something a bit uncomfortable, if there is someone you need to apologize to, that you need to seek forgiveness from, if there's someone you just need to have a really gracious conversation with to clear the air, if you are wanting more of the Spirit in your life, you need to get things right with people where you can. If there's issues of unforgiveness, if there's disunity, please ask the Spirit to help you get those things right. Secondly, where do you need to surrender, yield, or cooperate with the Holy Spirit in your life? I guess at kind of the foundation level, it's a, do you have a willingness to be part of what God is doing through the Spirit in your life? Are you willing to step out in faith and follow wherever the wind of the Spirit may lead you? For some of us, that's just a willingness to say yes, perhaps finally, to stepping out to where God, you sense God is leading you. There might be something that God's been speaking to you about for a long time. You might have had a tap on the shoulder from a person saying, would you help me do this? And you sense that God's actually wanting you to do that. And whether it's from fear, whether it's from doubt, whatever it is that is holding you back, God is inviting you into what He is doing, and He wants us to cooperate with Him. It might be as simple as extending an invitation to someone for a meal or to come to church. Or perhaps it's just going deeper in conversation with someone who has questions about Jesus and not being held back by fear. It may just be to serve or to give wherever and however God is leading you, but to not resist, but to say yes. For others of us, and I really resonate with this one, it might be more about stopping relying on our own talents, abilities, strengths, understanding and personality, and actually to give the Spirit room to do what only He can do. It's so easy for us to rely on our own strength when God's saying, let me give you the strength, let me empower you, let me do what only I can do through you. What is Jesus wanting you to be part of? Where is He wanting you to yield and to surrender and to cooperate? What do you need the fire of the Holy Spirit for? Or perhaps more accurately, who do you need the fire of the Holy Spirit for? Who has God placed in your life that He is wanting you to reach? Again, unlike the first disciples, you and I probably don't need the miraculous ability to speak in a foreign language. We just need the English words. But we need those words from God to reach those that He is calling us to share our faith with. We need the wind and the fire of the Spirit to do what only He can do. So in light of that, what do? We ask. We ask and we cooperate. We ask for the fire and the wind of the Holy Spirit to enable us with wisdom and courage and words and insight and everything it is that we need that we can't do on our own. A couple of weeks ago, when Pastor Dave was talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, he mentioned these verses in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. So you sinful people who know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? He wants us to ask Him, to ask for this amazingly good gift that Jesus has for us. And this is what I want us to have an opportunity to do this morning. But first, I want to note here as well, if you're in the room today or if you're with us online and perhaps you kind of resonate more with the crowd at Pentecost. Perhaps you've never made that decision to put your faith in Jesus. You wouldn't call yourself a follower of Jesus, but you are curious. You've got questions, and I want you to know, whether you're here in this room or whether you are joining us online, we want to help you find the answers to the questions that you have. We want to be part of that journey. And if that's you, I want to invite you to come and speak to myself or one of the team after the service today. Or maybe you're here and you've heard the message, you know who Jesus is, but you've never made that decision to follow Him. And I want to encourage you this morning to take up Jesus' invitation, His invitation of follow me, and for the Spirit to come and indwell your life and enable you to live the life that God has for you. And for those of us in the room who are already followers of Jesus, Jesus wants to fan into flame the Holy Spirit in our lives. For us to know Him in ways that transform us and bring His transforming presence to the people around us. The disciples had heard about the Spirit. They'd talked about the Spirit. They'd even seen and experienced the work of the Spirit in Jesus. And now it was time for them to experience the Spirit themselves. And here over the last several weeks, we've been hearing about the Holy Spirit. But hearing about the Spirit is nothing like experiencing the Spirit. To be swept up in the wind of God's presence or to feel the burning fire of His love and His holiness. And like the first disciples, I want to give us time this morning to wait on Him. Whether we sit or we stand or we kneel before God and ask Him to make us aware of His presence, to fan into flame His wind and fire, to fan into flame His presence in our lives. Today is an opportunity to ask, to surrender to the work of the Spirit in and through our lives, or to perhaps ask Jesus to reignite and fan into flame an experience of the Spirit that has died down in our lives. Would you stand with me this morning as the team comes? What would it look like for us if we were a community of believers who walked in the wind and fire of the Spirit? What might God do in us and through us? Perhaps miraculously, if we leaned more heavily on a reliance of the Spirit to lead us and to guide us. How many more might come to faith in Jesus? Might experience the forgiveness, the hope, the joy, the freedom that most of us in this room and online experience every day of our lives. How many more might come to know who Jesus is and the life that He has for them if we were to yield? If we were to surrender, if we were to cooperate with the wind and the fire of the Spirit in our lives. I want to give you a moment now before we sing. I want to invite you to close your eyes. Often find for me that just putting my hands out in front of me is a physical act of surrender. And if you feel comfortable doing that, I want to invite you to do that. If your heart is to yield to the work of the Spirit, you might just want to open your hands before Him. Say, Lord, whatever it is that You have for me today, I want to receive it. Just wait on Him. What You have for us today. We don't want to box You in. We don't want to put our own expectations on You. We just want what You want for us. We want more of You, Lord. Holy Spirit, come with wind and fire today. Spirit of God, breathe new life into us where we need it. Lord, for those in the room, Lord, for those watching, Lord, if the fire has been going out, Lord, if there are just embers left, Lord, breathe by your Holy Spirit and fan into flame what it is that you want to do in us. Lord, ignite in us passion for you, love for you, commitment to you. Make us more like you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the fruit of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that we can know love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. Lord, thank you that we can become more like you by your Spirit. Thank you for the gifts of your Spirit. Lord, thank you that you enable us, you empower us, you equip us. We don't have to rely on our own human frailty, but Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you come. You come, Lord, and you do what only you can do. And this morning we pray in this place, do what only you can do. Breathe on us. Set us alight for you. Speak to us, Lord. We yield to you. We surrender to you. And as we worship you this morning, Lord, would you move in our midst? Would you draw us close to you? And would you send us out this week with the fire and wind of your Spirit to see your transformative power touch the lives of the people around us? We honor you today, Lord. We worship you. Speak to us as we sing these words now. Meet with us in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.